good friend of the show, Rick Velotta, Review Journal. No one better on the stadium issues. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Ed?
Good, good. So UNLV finally gets its day with Steve Hill, the board chairman, in tow. You know, as this stadium project has gone along, and the lease, and the NFL owners, everyone approving everything, I think there might have been some people in town, you know, waiting for the UNLV side of things. UNLV football fans, what will it be early on? There were some times during this whole process where, like, well, will they get the field markings? Is it just a tenant situation where it's not really going to be a UNLV home game? Take us through yesterday's meeting. I'm sure it's not the last one with UNLV, but where do they stand now on this joint agreement with the Raiders?
Well, they're still in talks, actually, and there wasn't as much done as I think everybody wanted to see done. And obviously, this UNLV issue is really, really important, not just to the community around here, but this was one of the things that it was stated publicly that this was part of the whole legislative process when they did this special session back in October. This was something that was one of the three key elements of the whole agreement in order to get the stadium built, because basically what it does is it provides a new place for UNLV to play football without having to put much money down on it, because they're going to get a quality NFL stadium to play in without having to build it.
It appears a draft of the agreement was not presented, but we're talking about rent, scheduling, signage, field markings. I mean, I think if you're a UNLV football fan, you just want to know that when you take the Uber out there on a Saturday and they're playing BYU or they're playing someone in the Mountain West, like a Boise or someone like that, when you walk in there, and I know they can't hide everything with the NFL and the Raiders, there's just too much to do when there's a game the next day for the Raiders, but they want to have somewhat of a UNLV feel to it. Do you think that's doable?
I think it's doable, and I think that that's probably one of the top emphases of what the group that's studying this is trying to accomplish. And you know, just to kind of take this back a little bit, back on May 30th, there was a group of people who met on this, a lot of UNLV folks, President Len Jessup, the new athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois, Jerry Bamadi, Mike Newcomb, who's actually on the Stadium Authority Board, and then Dan Ventrelli from the Raiders and Jeremy Aguero from the Las Vegas Stadium Authority. They all sat down and came up with a list of things that needed to be accomplished in terms of getting this UNLV look in that stadium to where they want it to be. And, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be an impossible task, but there's more than 100 elements to this. And we're talking things like the field markings, which are obviously very, very important. What the playing surface is going to look like, things of that nature are the expensive things and the things that are probably very important to the whole equation. But then you're also talking about, you know, who sells the goods and who has the control over all the things that are in the stadium, the signs, the advertising, all of that stuff, and part of it has to have kind of a UNLV flavor to it, because after all, this is the home field for the Rebels football team.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's, you know, they want it. I mean, I think they'll get the rent and everything else settled, but I think they just want to feel like it's a college football game for their home team. UNLV and Jessup had a ton to do with this. You know, Desiree Reed Francois, we had her in live last week, former attorney with the Raiders. How much do you get the sense in talking to people? I'm assuming she's going to play a big part in this. She's the AD there now. But, you know, Bedain told us in the NFL meetings, we know her. We have a relationship with her. She worked for us. That has to help UNLV. You know, even though I do think she's, behind the niceties and all, I get the feeling she's going to be a tough negotiator, too, as she should be for that school.
Yeah, no question about it. That having her in that role is a definite plus in the entire process. And kind of going back to something that you mentioned about the rent, I think that there's a little bit more clarity that was brought upon by some things that we reported in yesterday or in today's edition of the RJ. That being that a lot of this rent dollar amount is all already pretty much spelled out by Senate Bill 1, which was approved.
Okay.
And basically what that is that everything that it costs the Raiders to manage the stadium for a UNLV game, that's, you know, opening the doors, having people available, that type of stuff, all that is just going to be a cost that is passed through from UNLV to the Raiders with no extra charges. It's not going to be a profit center for the Raiders in terms of doing this. And they have that, in effect, for every home football game that they have, plus three more events. And those three other events might be something like a Mountain West championship game, might be graduation for UNLV. We don't know what that is quite yet, but the fact is that it's not going to cost UNLV any more than they would be doing it probably someplace else. It's just that the cost amount is going to be passed through from UNLV to the Raiders, and that's where they're kind of hung up right now, because they want to have a reasonable estimate as to what that's going to be before they go forward.
Clay, did I tell you this kid's a positive kid? He's got him in the Mountain West Championship. Good for them. Has he seen them play?
Yeah.
They're getting better. They're getting better.
We have 3 years to work on that.
There you go. That's about 3 years. Yeah, actually, 3 years with that facility. You better be near it. Okay. Follow him on Twitter, at Rick Velotta, V-E-L-O-T-T-A. I know you also read in our paper, great job by one of our colleagues, the parking issues. Now, we said last week now, the NFL and the Raiders and the vote and the relocation and UNLV, that's all the sexy stuff that people want to talk about. But now we're getting down to the important stuff, the parking, the infrastructure, how many spaces can go in there. When you saw what the Review Journal had in our paper in terms of the map, a number that people thought, boy, that's not a lot of parking at all. Were you surprised? Did you expect the numbers to be that way? And do you see any major hurdles that is going to slow this thing down because of parking?
Well, I was a little bit surprised, but whether it's going to slow things down or not, I don't think that's going to happen, because I believe that the Raiders are going to come forward with some potential solutions, and they may even need to work with some of the properties around them in order to resolve this parking problem, because they're short by, 14,000 spaces? I mean, that's a pretty tremendous amount. But 14,000 spaces could fit very well on some of the lots that are surrounding that area. And then it's just going to be a matter of figuring out how they're going to transport people from those lots. And presumably they would have some pregame activities or tailgating going on actually to the front door of the stadium so people can get in really easily.
Yeah, I would assume also, Rick, that the price of those lots has grown exponentially since it was announced the lease was approved and the stadium's coming. I would have liked to own one of those lots about 6 months ago and still held on to it.
Well, as soon as the Raiders signed the check for that piece of ground, immediately everything around it became much more valuable, and obviously that's something that has to be considered when you announce something like that. I'm sure they were trying to keep it as low-key as possible for a long time, but something like that, you can't keep it under the wraps forever.
Rick Velotta, ReviewJournal.com, at Rick Velotta on Twitter. Okay, so everyone's continuing to say, can they do it by December? Can they do it by January? A lot of stuff have to happen. The Raiders have to make a lot of deals, like you said, about surrounding land, infrastructure, everything that's going to go into getting all the paperwork and everything they need to break ground. Have you seen anything that slows the process, or do you think in January they've broken ground?
I think by January they do break ground, and part of it is that they really are on an aggressive schedule. And one of the things that we've kind of put together is this checklist of things that have to happen before they can actually put a shovel in the ground, and it's about 19 items long. So we've got agreements that need to be reached, some paperwork that has to be sent off, and it looks like at the next meeting, the July meeting of the Stadium Authority Board, we're going to see five more of those things coming through looking for approval. So that will bring it up to about eight. So by the July meeting, they should be about halfway through. Now, that's not to say that this is an easy slam dunk, because some of those other ones are actually pretty difficult. That includes the parking issue. That includes some of the other aspects of the construction project that needs to be done before they can get going on this. And one of the ones that's coming up in July is this really important community benefits agreement. We've had people coming in and asking and, reminding the Stadium Authority Board that, hey, we're out here. We expect you to get this done. So that's obviously very important to the community. That being said, I think that the fact that the construction companies that are actually going to build the stadium are having a meeting with subcontractors next week, And when that happens, you're going to see a lot of people coming out that will have a lot of their questions answered, and we should know a lot more about things after that meeting occurs, because we'll actually get to see what the contractors think about this. I mean, you know, I'm kind of assuming that we're going to get to learn a little bit about what happens at that meeting, but once that occurs, I think that the excitement will rise to a new level, and it'll certainly be one of those things where people are going to be very aggressive in making sure it happens. And getting all these agreements signed off by October, and then the groundbreaking in presumably December or January.
Great stuff as always. No one knows this stadium better. Follow him on Twitter at Rick Velotta, Review Journal. Thanks, brother.
Hey, thank you.
Take care, Rick Velotta.